Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank of katelovingshank.com and the author of the Prayer Prescription Series. The Prayer Prescription Series is the sponsor of this show. Please go to katelovingshank.com to receive a book I wrote called The Self-Healing Manifesto. Our guest this evening is Sheila Audette, a.k.a. Astrology's Astrologer. She will be doing astrological and tarot card readings for our call-in listeners this evening. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Sheila Audette. Hello, Sheila.
Okay. Nice to talk to you. Nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear your voice. Hey, before we get started, how can people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me at marysheilaaudette@gmail.com. It's marysheilaaudette@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah. And they can get you on Facebook, but it's Sheila Audette on Facebook.
Yeah, it's Sheila, S-H-E-I-L-A-A-U-D-E-T. A lot of people get me on Facebook, yes.
Great. So, you are going to talk about the Pope and his great decision to step down.
Well, I find, the Pope's chart, you know, is very interesting. The Pope, you know, we're having Uranus in, you know, no one has done this for 700 years.
Step down
for 700 years, and he is an Aries, and so, you know, with Uranus and Aries, this is a first. It's a first from 700 years ago that he is, and it's very Uranian. It means it's almost like a lightning kind of thing. Like everybody is surprised in many ways, you know, that he's stepping down, and he has. The moon, his moon is in opposition to his sun. His moon, his environment is Libra. It seems, you know, that this Benedict was, you know, the last pope. I adored the last pope.
Yeah, he was like a humanitarian, and this guy is kind of like a fascist.
Yeah, I felt that way too. And
I just want to say, I'll give an example of why I think that.
Okay.
He excommunicated Matthew Fox, which is a spiritual. He was a very spiritual, as we, for all our listeners, probably know about Matthew Fox. He was like a spiritual, probably Roman Catholic, and then I think he became a Episcopalian. Am I correct? Because he was excommunicated by that. Not he wasn't the Pope at the time, but. Anyway, that was why I said that. Go ahead.
Well, that's okay, because, you know, this documentary did come out, and he was in charge in many ways of the whole sex scandal, you know, and it was swept under the rug, we have to say that, you know, and he has an intercepted house, which I work with a lot, which means the Scorpio, and it's a Scorpio Taurus house. And it really is, you know, when you have a house between houses, that means there is no house cuts for it. It means it's like a secret place or a secret a secret dungeon or someplace that's folded into someplace else. It's like a play within a play within a play.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in Scorpio, which is keeping secrets. And it also has the kite energy with the tail of the kite, which is a grand trine with two sextiles coming out of the top of it, which makes a kite-like form in the center of the chart, which means the tail of the kite is coming out through this house, this Scorpio house.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that kite is Jupiter, Mercury, and Pisces, which, you know, Jupiter, Mercury, and Pisces is also pretty muddy in some ways, because it's like keeping the mystery, preserving the holy, whatever, you know, the holy thing, no matter at what price.
Mm-hmm.
And right before Uranus went to 0 degrees of Aries, it was going right over this when the sex scandal was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that there's some hidden thing. He may be very sick, but there's also some hidden thing that is going on. Also, last month, his moon went to Sagittarius, which is leaving, which is
mm-hmm.
the part, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know. But Saturn is conjuncted by progression, not by transit, but in his natal chart, he has Saturn in Sag. So, and it's retrograde. So it is going back toward this moon, which is the environment, which means somehow there's a way bigger thing that he's being pushed out or something, that something is going on here. I think, you know, I usually look for three different things to, and, you know, after all, he was born, you know, in 1927, so Uranus was in Aries then.
Uh-huh.
So, and Uranus has come back onto his natal Uranus. So there is
right.
this explosive, and Jupiter, by progression, Jupiter is conjunct that. So that's a big, like volcanic thing. When you
mm-hmm.
look at it, when you look at his graph, it's very interesting, because I do this year-long graph or more for people by progression and all. There's nothing in it. I've never seen one like that. It's almost like Jupiter goes over Saturn in January and February, and then Jupiter goes over the ascendant in April, which means he may, you know, really pass over.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And then Jupiter goes over the midheaven in May and June. But that is the only thing that there is in this graph. Out of all this big, long graph that I run, that's the only thing. Jupiter is the only thing that's working. And then in June and July, the end of August, it goes over the moon. And that's where Pluto is kind of coming in there, because it changes signs and goes up to the top of the graph. And so it's very interesting. I would love to know the particulars of it. And this whole, you know, I couldn't find Donner's chart. If anybody has Donner's chart, you know, the guy that's holding up in the woods, of course, it's not, no, they wouldn't go after that yet, you know, but it will be on. But it's interesting, because all of this stuff about guns is, you know, Uranus and Aries, all of it is, you know, this whole thing that's coming up about, I was in Phoenixville all weekend, actually working, and the woman there said that her son never owned a gun in his life and went out and bought two guns.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that all these people, they cannot make them fast enough, they cannot get them out fast enough, the people that have never bought guns, and I said, well, why? And she said, simply because that he was told he couldn't.
Yeah.
So I find that also kind of interesting. Now, the other thing about Uranus and Aries is this North Korea thing, you know, with the nuclear stuff.
Yeah, what's going on there? I'm not quite clear on that.
Well, they set off another nuclear explosion, and it's this Uranus in Aries and Pluto in Capricorn. It's just basically, and there is in this chart yesterday when it was set off, there is a yaw to Saturn in Scorpio. I mean, there mm-hmm. is a real secretive thing that is going on there. I mean, right now we're dealing with Neptune in Pisces, Moon in Pisces, Mars in Pisces, Chiron in Pisces, and Mercury in Pisces. We're dealing with an awful lot of hidden energy. I mean, Pisces
yeah.
is a highly spiritual energy, but it's either the victim or the hero on either side of Pisces. And, you know, Jesus, the sign of Pisces, he told his story as a teacher and, you know, in parables and teaching all the time, every minute. But then his story is told as a victim, you know, that he
mm-hmm.
suffered and died and for us. And, you know, the story is told that way. But he never described himself that way. He described himself as a teacher. I truly believe that when he was on the cross, he said, forgive them. They just didn't get this.
Right.
If anyone could hear him at all with the lightning storm and a spear in his side and, you know, and no water. And I, you know, when I was very young, I put up my hand. I told Kitty Loving Your Mom this. And I said, I put my hand up and said, well, how could they hear him? And the Bible school teacher went, well, next question. And your mom, a great story about Kate's mom is, Kitty Loving Shank, is that the nun said that you can talk to God anytime. So Kitty asked to be dismissed from class, and she went out to the telephone and called and tried to call God and came in and said she couldn't get him.
Did you hear
that story?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that story, Kate?
I did. I think she
mm-hmm.
was calling, she was taking it too literally about calling.
Well, don't you think that's lovely?
It truly is lovely, yes.
Well, yeah, and I was taking it literally too when I said, you know, how could anybody hear him? I mean,
exactly.
It seems quite impossible, you know. They should have left some, they put those flannel boards up, remember?
Yeah.
That they put things on, and I thought teachers should have, well, I'm from the theater, so I thought the teacher should have left the lightning and all out there, because that even made me more curious about how they heard him, you know?
Yeah.
I also want to mention to the listening audience that everybody should go see The Life of Pi.
Mm-hmm.
That I find, if you want to look at The Life of Pi astrologically, it means, you know, it's the story of a boat going down with animals on it, and the only people that are left, the only person that is left is Pi, of course, you know, and Richard Parker, which is the tiger.
Mm.
And his name is Mr. Richard Parker. I love that. anyway, there's three other animals left. But, of course, you know, the tiger eats them. I mean, the tiger, of course, you know, gets hungry.
Yeah.
But what happens with him is that the tiger's in the boat, you know, the lifeboat, and so he has to build a raft out of things, and he drifts around the boat for most of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know anything about astrology or really get the metaphor of astrology, that is the way we drift around our chart. The tiger is the chart. The tiger is our natal chart. The tiger is the challenge. The tiger
mm-hmm.
is, can you get over your fear? Can you get through fear of failure, fear of success, the threatening of death? Can you go through certain kinds of things and really capture your chart?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you break the seed open. And it isn't until you come to a compassionate place that is almost death, death in some form, that you really come to grips with the fact of your chart. You have to get on your knees to that level to be able to get into the boat with the chart,
mm-hmm.
with that tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a fabulous, fabulous metaphor for people to know what an astrological chart is. And even, you know, I don't want to say the end of the movie, but something happens where the tiger almost goes, well, you get it now. you got it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You have really broken open the seed. And he becomes a very compassionate man, of course, through this whole adventure, well, that he came to death's door. But, you know, it's interesting. So I, you know, and I've, oh, a lot of Facebook, a lot of long writing on Facebook about some people are getting it. And then some people are talking about plagiarism, and people are talking about, you know, the movie and the book. And, you know, when I go to a movie from a book, I go, it's a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's a movie. It's and Ang Lee, I mean, he's a great director. He's not an American director in the fact that he does not get you instant satisfaction. He never does.
Right.
You have to get there at his pace, which is a different kind of pace than the American audience is used to. But this movie seems to be very Piscean in the fact that it's rising up to a lot of people seeing it. And it's, I think some movies make a difference in the electromagnetic field. I mean, they just do. And this is one of the movies that I feel really does. And Cloud Atlas also, I feel. But I don't feel a lot of people really understood that movie either, you know, about reincarnation and what exactly was going on there. But still in all, I just wanted to put it out there, if, you know, we don't, in other countries, they use the astrological chart from a very young age. I mean, they show their children their charts like at 12 years old. And
yes.
India and Africa and Canada and, England and all. Astrology is taken much more seriously than it is in the United States of America, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the point is if you're in a bar or you're out at the gym and somebody says, what's your sun sign? It's not really your sun sign.
Right.
It's the thing that you're trying to break open. It's the top of the mountain experience. And there's a lovely quote that I got over the weekend about the mountain. And this man is looking at the mountain, and he said, you beat me the first time, but I'll beat you the next time because you've grown all you can grow, and I'm still growing. And one year later, he succeeded in becoming the first man to climb Mount Everest.
Wow.
So
pretty
I
cool.
think... I just like, I love that quote. It was in the bedroom that I was staying in Phoenixville. So, anyway, I think, you know, we're really going to have to look at North Korea here. I mean, it's a seed that's not going away, but, you know, war is not the answer. War and weapons and guns and all of this is not really the answer. And there is so much, you know, Donner now, so much publicity, everything, CNN, all of it, on and on and on. And
now,
I'm
not familiar with Donner. Tell me about that.
Donner is somebody that was in the police force, and then he killed two cops, or injured two, I don't know, and killed this young couple that were going to get married. And he is like an assassin, a trained assassin that can shoot evidently with the right and the left hand. And then he escaped and went into the woods, and they're on a manhunt now. It's all over. You know, they're in a manhunt hunting him in the woods. And however, he did go into another house and didn't kill anybody. So, I mean, the explanations of CNN that goes on, you know, I was working and the television was on, trying to get into the brain of someone who has really lost their mind, trying to explain it is beyond me. You know, why did he do it? What happened? Why did he do it? Why did it? You can't explain insanity. I mean, it's just not, you're not able to do that. So, it's, you know, anyway, that's the newest one, you know, the school shootings and then this, and there is so much focus on it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well,
you know?
I just have to put it out there that a recent guest on this program. I don't know if you heard it, Sheila. The woman who, Julia Asante, who wrote the book, The Last Frontier. And to me, I got so many answers from reading her book and just speaking with her for the hour, because it's about, Publishers Weekly calls her, that she is to the after-death movement as Kubler-Ross is to the death and dying movement. So that's the kind of thing. She's a clairvoyant, psychic, and she's an anthropologist, so she's also a scientist. And her whole thing is that we are all so terrified of death, and it's reflected in all these guns. It's reflected in all the fear. It's reflected in all the power structures. It's reflected in almost everywhere that you look. But in reality, it doesn't exist. So it's really fascinating, because she answered a lot of questions for me that I always wondered about over the years. And this whole thing about the Pope and religion. The thing about religion is, and all the religions, not just Christianity, all the different facets of Christianity, all the different types of religions, they all have their rules. And if you follow these rules, then you will somehow be given a great, you'll be a good person and you'll get gifts when you die or whatever. Like as a Christian, if you get baptized, if you believe in heaven and hell, each one of these religions has different times when you're supposed to be baptized, all these rules. Well, she said that, you know, the point is that when you die, there are no rules. And all that, and the thing to me would be, wow, that would be so cool to be believing these rigid structures, dogmas for so many years and then realize that it's bullshit when you die. But she said that people get really angry when they realize that everything that they've believed is bullshit.
Well,
I thought that was cool.
My theory about that is a little bit different sentence, is everything that you are controlled by, because of that, you have turned over the responsibility to the rules and regulations. So you're then following them and letting the church, et cetera, whoever, the cult, whatever, you are letting them run your life. You have given them responsibility, and you lose the ability to respond.
The ability to respond, right?
And then if you do something out of the box, they will then say, "Oh, you broke the rules. Oh, you broke the rules of the cult. Oh, you broke the rules." Well, that's because they want power over and not power with.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have experienced in the last couple of months a Jungian, really a quite neat guy, a minister, and then a lot of ministers in this group that I'm in. They're all, you know, but it's interesting to watch the Jungian, and my belief too somewhat, is what you were talking about, is the shadow side is the same as the other side.
Yin
yang sign has the black seed and the white seed and the black. Unless you give them even power, unless you give them balance, you're not going to make it. You're not going to break open the seed of why you were born here. And the thing about, and there's a Course in Miracles person too who says, we should take away the bottom chakras. That was one of the, and I was like, well, then we wouldn't have any babies, Kate, okay?
Oh, I know. There's something, we have to blend all of it. It's all good. It's all part of the whole.
Out of a job, okay? She wants to put you out of a job. I said, my friend won't have a job. But I find that the most negative places, you know, the places that we don't deal with in everyday life, those are the places where we really grow and break open.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get deepened. That's where we explore the perimeters of our soul, And it's the level of certain levels, you know, of consciousness. And through it, you know, we explore the aspects of our dark side, like anger, pain, abandonment, terror, loneliness. And those are the aspects of the sacred womb. Wound. And it forces us to look at those parts. And if you can look at the dark side as a teaching, you'll grow. I mean,
right.
It's not the only teacher, but it means when you basically are thrown out of your comfort zone completely. Know about that. Well, you have to survive or not, okay? And you learn, I think you learn in what we call the dark side or whatever, in every movie or any book or anything. If there's, you know, I was saying, you know, there wouldn't, if you want all love and light, you wouldn't have any books or movies or anything. You wouldn't even have the Bible.
Right.
I mean, you'd have none of it because that's where the story is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the conflict is, like in Life of Pi. That is the conflict of growing. And yes, the person, you know, is it called the New Frontier? Did you say
it's called the Last Frontier?
The Last Frontier. And what's your name again?
Julia Asante, Assante.
I'm going to read that. Sounds wonderful.
It's really, well, you will love that book. It's quite liberating.
Okay. It's really, and we are now in the Year of the Snake. So,
cool.
We went into the Year of the Snake on Sunday the 10th, and New Moon, and the Year of the Snake is about going deep. There it is again. That's about, you know, about the whole thing about going deep, the Scorpio-Taurus axis of, and we are going to do that. I mean, the government's nothing's working. I mean, the way it used to work, the way we thought it worked. And
well, we actually have some callers here. Let's take one, and we have three, so let's take the first one. 847 area code. Welcome.
Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Do I ask a question? Do you look at my chart? How does that work?
I want your birthday, honey.
My birthday is 12/17/1960.
December the 12th, 1960?
No, the 17th.
Oh. Why did I say that? Okay.
Unless I accidentally said that.
Oh, did you? I'm just going.
I don't know. Today's the 12th, right?
Yes, it is, dear.
Yeah, December 17th, 1960, 7:45 a.m.
Okay.
Waukegan, Illinois. Do you need me to spell that?
No. I can't. I'm not going to do all that. I just. So, what do you have a question or?
Yeah, I've been really stuck for the last few years. Do you see things moving?
Do I see things moving? Do you see things
starting
moving?
To move?
Huh?
Yeah, starting to move.
Mhm. So you've had your chart done, obviously, right?
Yeah, I have before. Yes.
And so, where do you know where your moon is?
I'm a Sagittarius, Capricorn, Sagittarius.
Okay. So, you have the sun in Sagittarius, right?
Yep.
And the moon in Sagittarius.
Yes.
Good. Okay. I've never heard a Sagittarius say they were stuck in my life. I'm really
impressed. Really?
Huh?
Really?
Yes. Okay, this is what I'm going to say to you, Joe. You've got Uranus that is trining all that. You've got, you know, basically, yes, the thing that's keeping you stuck is the way you're telling the story. You have got to. The Sagittarian energy is like Disneyland, okay? It's like imagination. The Sagittarius is the vision and the imagination. And if you imagine it, if you will build it, it will come. But Joe, you're saying I've been stuck for how long?
3 years.
Okay. You're not going to say that anymore. You promise?
Okay. I promise.
Thanks. Okay, you said I've been challenged, okay? I've been challenged.
Okay.
I've been challenged for a while, and now I'm on the move. And so you then do a thing called focus wheel. When you get up in the morning, you take down the book of pain, and you go, I'm stuck. You say, I'm putting this book back on the shelf, and I'm going to do one thing that is really uncomfortable for me today, no matter what it is. I'm going to do some kind of act of power. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to go somewhere where and you break it. You have to begin to break it. And when were you not stuck? When do you feel was the last time you were not stuck?
I had trauma, and then I took care of my dad, and I was with him when he died, and I've kind of been stuck since then. But I think I was exhausted because I was battling my own cancer for 2.5 years, and then he immediately following was diagnosed with terminal cancer and was sick for 2.5 years. So,
well, that's
I was, and then I was pregnant right before that, working 2 jobs. So I think I was exhausted.
Well, you have Jupiter, Saturn, and Capricorn. So the challenge of dealing with your father's transcending and passing over is in the chart. It's right here. But that wasn't the question, Joe. You're so stuck in your story that you didn't hear the question.
Okay. Well, how long have I been stuck? Probably since he died.
The question was, when were you at peace? When were you not stuck? That was my question.
I don't know.
Well, that's what I want you to work on. I want you to get in your journal and go back and say, when was the place? Because you don't even, Joe, you don't even know how to do it, honey. You don't even know. You have to begin to do it. You have to begin to say, I'm going to do, it's a comfort zone to tell my story. That's a comfort zone is a circle in the middle to tell my story, to say, you know, my dad had cancer and that's awful, and I had cancer and I had 2 jobs and I had all this. And the more you tell that, the more the universe hears it and keeps creating it and creating it, even though it's not even here anymore. It still creates it. So you have to go to the next circle, which is stretch, and say, I'm stretching out of this. I'm going to remember sometime I had peace. I don't care if you have to go back to 4 years old. I don't care if you have to go back to 10. You go back and you pick up the places in your life where you had tranquility, where you had peace, where you said, I was happy in that moment. And then you say, I'm going to risk being happy now. And I know you're a double Sagittarius, Joe. I know you can do this, or you wouldn't be on the phone with me tonight.
Okay.
And then what happens is the last circle is the die circle. That circle means I'm never going back to that comfort zone story again. I'm never going back to create that reality again. So you think of things that if I walked out the door at this moment, what would I do? If I had all the money I needed, if I had all the energy I needed, if I had all of the everything I needed to do something, what would that be, Joe?
Oh, gosh, I would take writing classes, public speaking classes. Yeah. I'd like to be an activist.
There's no reason why you can't do that, Joe, tomorrow.
I do that now, too.
Okay, well, you do that now. But I want you to write about something. I want you to write something out of your imagination that will free you. So write a story tomorrow or whenever in writing class or whatever, a freedom story, a freedom of yourself. I'm no longer bound. Okay? Read The Wizard of Oz. I mean, you know, come on. Dorothy, you know, didn't think she had the courage, the heart, or the brain, and it was traveling right with her.
Right.
She had to get all the way to the wizard down the yellow brick road. There's a book called The Wizard of Us by Jean Houston. It's brand new.
Okay.
It's a brand new book. I want you to go get it. There's
okay.
another book called Broken Open by the woman that ran Omega. What's her name, Kate? I can't think of it.
Yeah, I'm blanking. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm blanking on that. But anyway, it's called Broken Open. It's a great book. There's a book called Soul Code by James Hillman, too. But I would like you to start with The Wizard of Us, the Gene Houston book, because there's processes in that book. It is not just a book to read, okay? It's a book that will, one of the processes is, if you're looking at the world and telling the story in black and white, you then draw something in black and white, and then you lift up into your imagination, into your set, and draw something in color. So you literally drew the drawing in black and white underneath of where you're, you know, all the stuff you've gone through, and then you lift it up into the imagination. I think that would be a great book for you, Joe.
Okay.
All righty.
And and it all made sense. It all made sense to me.
Good.
Everything you said.
The answer to your question is yes. You can pull out of this, and you're unstuck this moment.
Okay. Thank you. That was good. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I'm just going to put you on mute, okay?
Okay, all right.
You can continue to listen. So the next caller is, let's see.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry. How about, I think this might be a Skype call.
All right.
Hello there. This is Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. How are you this evening?
Fine, how are you?
Good. Do you have a question for Sheila?
If there's anything, if she's picking up anything on me. Do you need my birthday?
I'd like to pick up your birthday.
12/31/74, Capricorn.
Okay. December, say it again, sweetie.
12/31/74.
74. I'm sorry. I have to pull my mind. Just, you don't want to hear that, do you?
Okay.
Don't tell that story.
What? No.
Your mind. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. All right, honey. Have you had your chart done before?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I know I'm a Capricorn.
You are a Capricorn. You have plutonic energy really landing on you right now. Pluto and Capricorn is really doing a number on you. So the plutonic energy in this chart is it's about structure. It's about an ancient memory that's coming back. Capricorns are really working on the fact that it's almost like they are back in another life. And you have the moon in Leo, and the moon in Leo is that it was a very exciting drama in some ways, your last lifetime. So, you know, my advice to you would be to somehow, you also have Mercury in Capricorn, man, and you have Venus in Capricorn. You're really an ancient soul. You're really a soul that in this lifetime you volunteered to come here, and that you carry a lot of information that right now we're really getting ready for. What's your name, honey?
Rose Maria.
Maria?
Rose Maria.
Yes. So, you asked me what I picked up on the chart. That's what I'm picking up on the chart. And Jupiter, you know, you have Jupiter in Pisces and all this Piscean energy that's going around like this. It's a massive kind of compassion for the human race, a massive kind of compassion for maybe people around you, being drawn into a place, a victim place in some way, with them, but you get drawn in to that kind of energy because there's an awful lot of water, and then Uranus and Scorpio, I don't mean literally, but you can get yourself killed. you can get yourself really, really so deep into another person's stuff. And that's not only one person, though, because of all the Capricorn. It's, I think you have, do you have deja vu at all?
Not really.
I would work on that, honey. I would really work on bringing up, just starting to write things about, I remember this, I remember that.
I do that in my head.
I would like you to put it on paper, because in your head is a different modality in neurolinguistics. Your head is a different modality than when you get it down in front of you. When you get it in front of you, that's visual, and it's a different part of the brain. And so it's a different experience. When we just have it in our head, we don't feel the experience. And then when we get up and journal about it, and even if we get up and draw a picture and move with it, we begin to have the experience and feel the experience instead of it just going around in our head. And that's a very valuable brain you have in your head. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
Very valuable. And so you need to get that information out of there.
Gotcha.
We forgot about tarot cards. How about one of those?
Oh, yes. Well, okay. All right. Oh, you have the Daughter of Wands and the Mother Peace. Do you know the Mother Peace card?
Never heard of that one before.
They're round cards, and the round cards are, in ballet terms, the unicorns behind this woman. And the mountain is protecting her back. And it's saying, she's doing a grand jeté. And she's holding her chart, which is her natal chart, in her hand. And she's moving at a very swift pace. She's moving across the card. And it's called the Daughter of Wands. So it encourages you to do something new, to take a chance, to take a leap of faith. And then I got the Five of Discs, which is, there's totems on the wall, of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, and she is working in clay, making something new. And the clay represents reforming herself in a new kind of way into something different. And you got the snake card. It's the Year of the Snake. And that is the snake in this card is systematically rubbing off the ancient skin and exposing the new skin. That is very Capricorn. It's bringing it to a new place. And you have creativity here so much in this chart because of the moon in Leo. And right now, you have to think about your creativity and get your stories, because there's some kind of power in your story. There's like a crystal palace in your mind, and I really think you're about to go on a long journey, a new journey, and you're here to really heal some of the stuff that's going on Earth. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else you want to ask?
I guess that's including like new relationship, new jobs, I guess going in or coming back where I want to be, what I'm thinking, where I want to go, basically,
yeah,
right?
Capricorn is really an old relationship and an old job. It's a new one in this lifetime, but it's an old one that is coming from the last lifetime because of the Plutonian energy.
Same company, probably, where I used to work, but a different location. That's what I'm trying to... Cool. Do you see any... Like, can you see, tell, or the time frame, or not really? If not, that's cool.
It's Plutonic. It's a while. Pluto is going to remain... the Plutonic energy is going to remain on your sun for, at least 2 years. You're in a big learning curve right here. And Venus is also in Capricorn, which is your love life, which is basically an ancient love. It's an ancient love.
Oh, yeah, I know who that is already.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I just got to go back home, that's all. Because that's where I need to get a job first.
Just like Dorothy.
Yeah, I just need to get my job first before I relocate this year.
I will get my job as a sentence, honey. I will get my job, not I have to, okay?
No, I don't mean that way. I mean for everything else. I will. I know I will.
I know you will, too. Okay, it's been great talking to you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We have area code 918. Excuse me. Welcome to the show, 918 area code.
Well, thank you. My name's
thank
Angela.
You.
What is it?
Angela. My name is Angela.
Angela. Okay. You were born when?
October 18th, 1968, Memphis, Tennessee.
You were?
9:09 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. So, do you have a question or?
I do. Lately, within the last day or two, I've been feeling overwhelmingly sad. I've been wanting to have a son. I don't know if I'm going through hormones or if it's my chart. I feel a shift. You know when you feel a shift happen?
Yes, I do.
I know
when you feel a shift happen. You don't like it?
No, this doesn't feel good.
Oh, is that right, Libra? You don't like the seesaw going up and down?
No. I get dizzy easy.
Yeah.
I do.
Which end of the seesaw are you on?
I don't know. I mean, I feel so out of it. I feel so...
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find my feet.
Okay.
And I'm usually not like this.
And why do you think you're like this right now, Angela?
I haven't a clue. I mean, if I could figure that out, then maybe I could fix it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a resistance to the feelings. Okay. Instead of questions about the feelings and feeling the feelings, as long as you are resisting, you're Libra. Okay. As long as you are resisting the feelings, they will get stronger and stronger and stronger. You need, basically, because of the Virgo, you need to mentally, physically, the moon in Virgo, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally examine the feelings. And I'm going to tell you how to do that if you want
okay.
to.
Yes.
I want you to write down mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. I want you to sit somewhere quietly, you know, wherever that is, and I want you to take a drawing pad, and I want you to draw a picture of where you think you are, okay? Then I want you, at the bottom of that, to look at the picture and say, what do I see, okay? What do I see? And just let your subconscious draw the picture, because your subconscious is what is working here. And it's the moon in Virgo, and you are criticizing yourself and resisting. So what you do is put down physical words for the picture. Physical words are moving, stuckness, running, drowning, whatever, physical. Then you put down an emotional word. An emotional word would be, I'm sad, I'm grieving, I'm any kind of word that I'm angry, I'm any kind of emotional word. The third thing you do is go give a sentence to the picture. Any kind of sentence you have, like I'm looking at my, I don't think I can have children, I whatever it is in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing down is you look at all that, then you write something, write a paragraph about it, and then the spiritual thing is, what have I learned from this? What have I learned from this place that is making me sad? What have I learned from this place that has thrown me out of balance? What have I learned from this? As long as you're in this situation, you know that children, right, they look where they're going to come in. So I think you need to make yourself happier. You need to make yourself, you mean to get yourself to a place where you examine what this resistance has been, and then you put that picture aside, and then I want you to draw one of where you're going if you do all that work, okay? And you do the same thing. And I do say you can draw one in black and white or pencil or whatever, and then you draw the next picture that you're going forward into some kind of color, okay? Some kind of color that will make you happy. Then the third thing you do is not ever telling this story the way you just told it to me, okay?
Okay.
Now you're saying, I'm an open womb. I'm ready to be happy. I'm ready to balance, but not until after you do the work. Not until after you do the work, because the Libra sign is one of the most esoteric spiritual signs there are, because it's when the monks and the priests go. It's when the Christ's face touches the earth. It's called, because that's when it's sunset and the sun is coming down to touch the earth. So go out and start to do a ritual at sunset, honey, and start to do some meditation work at sunset when the sun is coming down, okay? Are you there? Angela?
I'm here. I'm listening fully into that moment. And I'm very right-brained, very, very right-brained. And
good for you. Okay.
Very, very right-brained.
Mm-hmm. We have to bring the brains in balance. You're a Libra. Balance it out. Yin-yang, okay? Balance it out. Okay, let's see what card you got. Okay, the card you got is systematically, there are women here working on weavings. They're working on things, wonderful domestic things. And it's saying, you need to work on something with your hands physically. You know, one's doing pottery, they're all doing something for the earth or with the earth. And next card is the Zero card, Major Arcana card. It's the Fool card in the Mother Peace deck. And the person in this card is walking on water up a mountain with the third eye open, only it's on her foot. So it's saying, man, you have to think that you can do the impossible. You have to think that you can create the impossible. And the next card is the Ten of Swords, which means get out of your head and into your heart, okay? Completely out of your head and into your heart. And I got the card of a child. I got two children, babies, that are making pictures with their mother. I got the Three of Wands in the Mother Peace card. There it is. Children just waiting for you. Yes, children just waiting for you. This is a card where it's red and she's opening up a whole new life with children. And the children are putting their little hands up on the wall and she's creating imagination and fun with them. Mm-hmm. So there you go. All right.
I hope that's newborn children. I hope.
It is. See, there you go. It is. That's where you stop. Okay?
Well, that's a great help. Those are really good advice, techniques. I like those. I like those a lot. I can work with that.
Good, Angela. I want you to work with that. You get off the phone and you work with those techniques and see if they work for you. I know they
thank
will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I really, really appreciate it.
Good.
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, sweetie.
Good night.
We have another Skype call. We are kind of running. We have about six more minutes, but that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Hello there. Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Thank you. Do you need my birthday?
Well, I didn't get that.
Would you like my birth date?
Oh, yes, dear. I would like your name first.
Oh, Stephanie.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
It's Stephanie.
Stephanie, okay. And you were born?
7-17-58. Yes.
Okay. Okay, and you have a question, honey?
Let's see. I guess my question is really about relocation and finances, I would say.
Okay. Okay. July 17, 1958, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Man, I'm getting double. Were you born in the morning or the night?
Morning, 10:19 a.m. So that my rising sign is Virgo.
Yes, so you're a double Cancer?
No, I'm a Leo moon.
Oh, so okay. So what time in the morning, honey?
10:19 a.m. on the East Coast in New York.
Okay. So the Cancerian, so you want to move?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think that the Mars in Aries in the chart, I think that you're going to move. I don't think you're going to move right away because the Uranian energy is over the Mars to move, but it's not aspecting it close enough yet. And it seems to me that the Moon, the Jupiter in Libra here, is that when you move, that it'll be like a balancing, to balance you out. Always when you have the Cancer Sun with the Leo Moon, it's a little bit hard because, you know, the Sun in Cancer clings, okay? It's the crab and it clings. And even though it wants to go, then it doesn't want to go. But the Moon in Leo, if we were doing astrodrama, the Moon in Leo says, man, this is more exciting. Let's go. Man, let's go. You know, let's go to another place. Let's go and do another. And the Sun in Cancer goes, well, I have to stay here and finish everything. And so the two things kind of work against each other. You also have Mercury in Leo, which is... The point is the moving thing in your head, is it in your heart? Do you really want to do it? Or is it just talk?
Oh, you're asking me?
I am asking.
Okay. Yeah, I've wanted to do it for quite some time now, so I would say yes. The answer is yes.
Okay, well, what is quite some time?
Oh, my gosh. I've wanted to do it for over a decade.
Okay. There's my point. That's what I just said to you.
No, I would disagree with the the clinging. I don't feel I'm there. I was more waiting for my kids to grow up, so now it's time.
Well, that's the Cancer thing, okay?
Yeah.
Waiting for the kids to grow up. It's not clinging, but it's, you know, the nest is there, and that's. Where you know, that taking care of the children is always, you know, the Cancerian thing.
Right.
And the Moon in Leo is taking care of the children, but the Moon in Leo is very great with children, okay? The Leo is the sign of children. I mean, that's what it is. And like I said to you, this Mars at where it is in Aries, it means basically that it's not going to happen for a while, but it's going to happen within the next couple of years, honey. That's the way I see the chart here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Saturn in Sagittarius, man, you know, again, there is wanting to move, but there is a resistance. There is a resistance. No matter what you say, I'm going to go by the chart. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me look at the cards here. Okay. Wow. There's something. The Daughter of Discs you got, which is a crystal, which she's holding up, which means there's something big where you are, hidden deep, that you need to learn before you go anywhere. or some, the crystal that's within you needs to be exposed. It's like a crystal palace. It's like this crystal is shining right into this woman. She's completely nude in the card, in the Mother Peace card, and she's holding the peace pipe. It's like making peace with herself is the card. And then you got the Hierophant in the Mother Peace card, which means somehow bowing, the front of the card is bowing down to rules and regulations of how it should be, and then there's a guardian on the threshold of freedom in the back, which means if you go past that guardian that's on the threshold, then there's complete freedom and many streams to go. So it means you need to turn around and really, really look at it. And then you got the Strength card. So you have this, the Strength card in the Mother Peace is that the wolf is with her sitting. Both all three of these, two of these women in both these cards are nude. So it's like opening yourself up. The raccoon that's over her leg is like there is some deep place with you that you haven't yet processed. And the snake energy, which it is the year the snake is sitting at her right foot, it means shedding the skin and a whole new skin is opening up, a whole new thing underneath. And the birds are in the water of emotional wisdom. So, and the fox and the lion on here is foxy and courage. So there is you have a lot of totems that will travel with you in this lifetime. And I always suggest starting to write about where if you really want to go and you want to go for a decade, then you write. At the top of, you write what is holding, you write on one side what is holding you back, and on the other side, you write what will let you go, what will let you travel, and even draw a picture of it, I would draw a picture of something anchoring that all kinds of